you. Resurrection upgrade is going to be our message today. And way to go, Emmanuel.
Okay. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also opened, and many bodies of them, of the saints who had fallen asleep, were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God."
Amen. Big round of applause. Well done, mate. Well done. Okay. Well done, Emmanuel. And watch that space as well. And we love it as we see our young ones coming through. And I need that in a minute. Coming through. And we just encourage them. There's nothing like it where you see new people getting up to unpack the Word of God, new people worship leading. And this is our heart in this church, that we would lead people into the fullness of what God's called them to be. And so, resurrection. Resurrection upgrade. That's what we're going to call it today. And we're going to do two stories from the new, two true stories from the New Testament to kind of give us an understanding of what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And so, resurrection upgrade. Upgrade is when we improve, when we go to the next level. You know, we go up a league in life. Everything improves. So, is anyone in the house want an upgrade today? Yeah, a life upgrade. But that is what is on offer today. And so, an upgrade. When I was thinking about this, it's like, do you remember the days with the with mobile phones in the old days? You remember, we used to call them a brick, then Motorola things. Imagine, you know, if we hadn't upgraded them and we'd still be using them today. But thankfully, there was an upgrade there, and now, instead of getting the upgrade every year that we used to, now it's probably 3 or 4 years. Actually, we keep ours, a smartphone, up for about 6 years. I have it for three, and then Debbie has it for free. So what about houses? I remember getting a massive upgrade there. When I came to Christ, I had nothing, and then God started to build things into my life. But there was a time when I lived in a house that wasn't finished. There was concrete mixers in there. It was an absolute mess, trash. It wasn't finished at all, apart from one room that had no heating in it. It wasn't decorated, but it had a bed in it, and I was able to stay in there for about a year and a half. Just went through that phase. And then suddenly, God gave me an upgrade. I bought a house with two bedrooms. There was heating in there. It was wonderful. There were 3 acres. That was Wentways, where we went this week. It was a massive upgrade for me. And then I was thinking about cars as well. I mean, my original car was a Vauxhall Colton. It was beaten up. It had dents all over it, but I absolutely loved it and kept it for years. People used to turn up and go, "Is that your real? Was that your main car?" I go, yeah, it is. But then my business partner felt sorry for me, and he sold me his, an S80, a Volvo S80. and it was wonderful. It was comfortable. It was the same colour all round, no dents in it. It had heating. The seats moved backwards and forwards. It was amazing. And it was a great one. And then after that, I thought, I like this. So I got into the comfy car. So I bought a VW Phaeton, which is like a VW outside, but everything underneath the shell is a Bentley, basically. And it used to really go. And that was an amazing car. Everything worked in there. It is the most comfortable car outside of a Rolls Royce. And then I had another upgrade, and now I drive a Skoda. So I don't really know what happened there. I think I might have upset somebody. But I'll be honest, when I first got in the Skoda, people said to me, try one of them. And I thought, what have I bought? I took it out of the garage and started to drive it, and I thought, oh my word, what is this? Till I got it on a motorway, and wow, does the thing go. And that. So it was a massive upgrade. I don't like speed, to be honest with you, and that, but I do like comfort. And them Skoda Superbs, they are comfortable. It was a massive upgrade for me. And so this is the kind of thing that is on offer at Easter. You know, you hear that we say that it's good news. You think, how can it be good news if Jesus died? You know, what's that all about? But it is good news. And there is a massive upgrade that we're going to hear about now. So try to picture the story that was just read to us in Matthew 27. So we go back there, and what we see, Matthew was describing to us then, the moment when Jesus died on the cross. And suddenly, as they put him on the cross, he's up there, and suddenly it went completely dark. Early morning, but it went dark through the whole land. Imagine that. You're out there, the sunlight's out, and suddenly everything goes dark. You can hardly see for 3 whole hours in the middle of the day. And then Jesus cried out, Laba, lama, laba, whatever it was, sabachthani. Lloyd, what was it? Eloi, Eloi, lama, sabachthani. Okay, there we go. And that means, God, why have you forsaken me? And what happened at that point, God hadn't shipped out on Jesus. But all the sins of the world, everything that you have ever done, everything I have ever done, was placed in Jesus' body, the Son of God. Father looking down from heaven, try to picture it there. The Son is on the cross. Every bit of awfulness in the world today from every person that has ever lived, crammed and pushed into Jesus' body at that moment. And the Father couldn't take it. He cannot look upon that kind of sin. And so he turned away. Jesus cried out to him, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in the whole history of their relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father turned away from the Son, and the Son's heart broke at that point. And he cried out and gave up his spirit at that moment. And at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Now, we've got to get that. This curtain was 4 inches thick, about the thickness of a fist. And what it did, it separated man from God. Because of our sin, because we've all done wrong, we cannot go into the presence of God like that. And in the Old Testament, before this time, before what happened here, only one man could go into the presence of God one time of year to atone for the sins of God's people. And there was a curtain separating man from God. And suddenly, as Jesus cried out his last, it tore in two from top to bottom. They reckon if you've got horses either side and tried to rip it that way, it was so thick it would not rip, it wouldn't tear. But suddenly the Father tore it open from top to bottom. No longer a separation between man and God. That's what happened on the cross. All of a sudden, we're allowed in there. And at the same time, rocks split. Some of the hardest substances in the world, great rocks, split into two at that time. And then there was an earthquake. The earth shook at that time. And people were looking on in amazement as this happened. And then suddenly, graves opened and people that were before dead had passed on came back to life, got up, the saints of the past, and they walked about and they walked into the city with many people watching them. Can you imagine that happening today? You know, imagine you back then, you know, when all that's unfolding. Do you think that you would think, something's happening here, isn't it? Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? The rock splitting, the curtain torn in two, graves opening, people walking out. There was something absolutely momentous happening there. What on earth was happening? Only God could do this. Only God could do something, and he wanted to wake us up that he is there, he is alive. God is alive. He's not dead, he's not gone, like some people would say today. No, he's alive, and he wanted us to know. And he wanted us to know that something miraculous was happening, not just for those around who could see then, but for the whole world, the whole of mankind. Something happened that changed everything. Nothing would be the same again from that moment on. Even time was torn in two, before Christ, and now we live in after Christ. 2023 years ago, this kind of happened. And so the history books torn in two because of it. It was so momentous what happened. And what happened that day is that forgiveness for our sin had been made available to every person that came to Jesus. No longer were man separated from God. No more separation, and one man goes to be before God one time a year. But every single person that lived from that point, you have the opportunity to approach God, to go to God yourself. You don't need a priest. You don't need me. You just need to believe in Jesus, and you can go to God the Father. That's what happened. We have direct access to our Father now. And no longer like in the Old Testament, where you see God, if you wanted to meet with God, you had to go to the temple. God said, I don't want that anymore. I love you so much that I want to come and live in your heart. I want to be with you. I don't want to see you going through this life all on your own. I want to be with you. And that is exactly what happened there. No longer in the temple, God coming down by his Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, by his Spirit coming to live in the hearts of man. And that is the good news of Christmas. That's the upgrade that we can get. So Christ living in our heart, we are not born that way. None of us are born in that position. We are all born needing that. And God said, this is the time I'm going to offer it to every person. There's an upgrade offered to every person. Because if we're truthful with ourselves, inside we know that there is something wrong. We know that we need that upgrade inside. You know, we know that everything we do isn't great. Have you ever had that feeling inside where you just start to question everything? You question life. What am I all about? Why do I do what I do? Who cares anyway if I wasn't even here any longer? My whole life, what does it add up to? It just seems meaningless. And if I stopped, who would care? There's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes that talks about this. The whole meaningless of life. You know, the truth is that our life is momentary. I mean, you might live to 60, 70. One of my mates died last week, about 64, 65. I'm hearing more and more of it. It's going to come to all of us. You might get 80. You might live to 100. But it comes to us in the end. Death will meet us all. We will get that moment where we meet God, eye to eye, the God of the universe. 10 years after we're gone, not many people are going to remember us, are they? Think about it. And then 100 years after we've gone, someone might have wrote something about us somewhere. But actually, probably no one will remember us. 1,000 years after we've died, no one will remember us. And then, you know, whatever happens, the earth is not going to last forever. The sun is going to burn out. And there will be a day, if it continues like it is, where the sun burns out and we are all gone. And nobody, it will be like we've never even existed. You ever thought that? That empty feeling inside, that nothingness, that what is this all about? I remember laying there in bed before I came to Christ, thinking to myself, just having a dreams night after night of just falling. I don't know if anyone else has had that dream. We're just falling and falling and falling and never hit the bottom. It's just that horrible feeling. I don't think I'm the only one who's ever got that. And you see, what God is doing with them moments in your life, He was showing me that I was missing something. I was missing something that this world cannot give. It cannot give you. And what we were missing is that desire inside, that desperate need in the heart of man, that we would be loved, that we would be accepted for who we are, that we would be cared for, not just for now, for all eternity. The thing that we are missing is God. It's Him that we are missing. And that is the upgrade He wants to give us today. The second story comes from Mark. Matthew, Mark, it's in here. From Mark 16. And it said this. So the first story was from the Friday, Good Friday. The second one was 3 days later, once Jesus had been in the cross for in the tomb for 3 days. Said, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint him, that is Jesus. They wanted to embalm him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? There was a massive stone rolled there because none of the Romans at the time wanted Jesus to get up or someone to nick the body to say that he had risen again. So they worried, who's going to move it for us? But looking up, there they go. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us at the entrance? But looking up, they saw that the stone had been already rolled back, and it was very large. And entering into the tomb, so they went into the tomb, and they saw a young man, an angel, sitting at the right side, dressed in white robe. And they were alarmed at what they saw. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. He is alive again. He was dead, crucified, but he is alive again today. Now, what I want you to do is go to see the disciples and tell them what you have seen today. And so this is what happened on the Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, in that story. They'd gone down there, and all they wanted to do was embalm Jesus. He'd been dead. They'd all seen that. Spear had been put in his side. Water and blood came out. They knew that he was dead. They saw him put into the tomb, and they couldn't believe it when they got there. The stone had rolled away. When they got into the tomb, can you imagine that? Sitting there, there's an angel sitting there. He is not here. And what they said was, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's no longer here. He is risen, just as he had told you. And at that moment, they must have realized that Jesus had told them 3 times that he was going to die and rise again, but they didn't understand. They knew it was the Son of God, so when he said, I'm going to die, they must have thought, how? Who could ever kill the Son of God? But actually, he allowed himself to die in that way. But now he is risen. He is risen. And the disciples at the time were away from there. Their hero had died. The person that they lived for, the reason for life, Jesus, was dead. They was in despair. They was at the end of themselves. They thought it was all over. But it wasn't. And so what does the empty tomb tell us today? The empty tomb tells us today that no matter how low life gets, how difficult life gets, that God can bring life again. He can resurrect things that look dead. He can, you know, the empty tomb takes us from a place of despair. I wonder how many people in this place today have been through a despairing time recently. When we feel hopeless, we feel finished. I wonder if that's you. You feel finished. You feel, who cares if I'm here? Who cares if I'm not? Well, if you're in that position, or you've got a situation in life that's so tough, and you think there's nothing that I can do, there probably isn't anything that you can do. But the empty tomb tells us that God can. The empty tomb tells us that we can go from that place of emptiness into a place of fullness, a place of security, of acceptance, of feeling great inside, joy inside, a new life beginning inside. You can have that today. And so however finished you might feel in your life, you've tried, it's all gone wrong, or life is so tough, where is God? Why did you allow this to happen to me? That cry that goes up, and you think God has finished with you. Well, he hasn't given up on you. He will never, ever give up on you. Hallelujah. He won't give up on you. And the empty tomb tells us that God has the power to resurrect even the worst life, the worst place you could find yourself in, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jesus has what you need. And if you ask him, you don't have because you don't ask. You won't get an upgrade if you don't come to him. You won't get it if you don't ask. But God wants to give it out for every situation. We had someone, and every day, this is not for some massive, it's not just for salvation to go to heaven, it's for every day. Last week we had one of our workers who'd done his back in. And for about the last month, he's been hobbling about like this. And I was in the log cabin, and all of a sudden, Josh is his name, I saw him walking down towards me, and he's going like this, and he couldn't stand up straight. And he came and he said, Clive, I just wondered. He said, I booked myself in to see an osteopath this afternoon, but he said, I wanted to give God a go. What do you think? I said, yeah, of course he will. I said, so, you know, I'm thinking like the resurrection power is promised to us. And I'm only being obedient to what he says. It's not like I'm doing something odd. He said, no, God said, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. I'm just doing what he said. So I said, well done, Josh, for coming up. And we prayed. And do you know what? As we prayed, simple prayer in the name of Jesus, back, get into line with the base of the skull. You know what happened? He said, afterwards, he told me, he said, Clive, I could feel my back straightening up. And suddenly we prayed for the pain to go. Short prayer, that was it. And then he started to do what he couldn't do before. Do you know, he didn't know that I could see him walking down or walking back. He walked down like this, kind of like that, and couldn't even get in and out the cab without help. You know what? He walked down that path straight like there was nothing wrong. And he went back to work, which is a good deal. Yeah. So what I'm saying is this is a momentous thing that God was doing with mankind. That there are those that don't have that at all. And there are those that have come to Christ and have that power available to them. And so we all know the Geister story. You know, I'm not going to ruin it by telling you the end result now. He did rise. You know, the fact is that God came down from heaven. It's unthinkable that he would clothe himself as a man, that he would be so vulnerable. He would be in the womb of a woman for 9 months. How dangerous is that nowadays? He would be birthed as a baby, a child, totally reliant on his mum to give him everything. This is the God of the universe. And then he grew up and he lived an absolute perfect life, because you can't and I can't. You can try and be religious. You can try and do everything right. You can try to be perfect in your life. I can tell you now, if you're honest, you won't even last the day. But Jesus did it for us. And then we took his life on the cross. That is so, you ever think of that? man killing God. They took him to the cross and he died there. But then he rose again on the third day. He rose again for you and he rose again for me so that he could upgrade the whole human race that would believe in him. There would be a massive difference in us if we would come to him. Romans 8:11 says this, that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead would raise us and give life to our mortal bodies. And so he wants to give us extra life, new life, heavenly life. Divine life would come to live in our bodies if we would receive Jesus today. You know, yesterday, days go so quick, Saturday it was. So I was out in the garden with all them youth there running around. And you know what? The sun came out. It's one of the first times this year I've been in the sun. And I looked up at the sun. You get that feeling, don't you, where the sun's coming down in your face. You feel warm, you feel good, your bones start getting warm. It just makes you feel wonderful inside. Anyone else love the sun? Yeah? That's how it feels when we invite Christ into our heart. Our hearts go, yes. Oh, like basking in the sun. Our hearts cry out, this is it. This is what I was born into the world for, to be filled with Jesus. You know, I was out on the estates a couple of weeks ago. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You know, the gospel is for everybody. I saw a muzzo out on the estates the other day. And so went up to him and started chatting. And it's like, how you doing? Yeah, yes, I'm all right. I said, we're just on the estate wanting to bless people and love people wherever they are. And it's like, I said, you believe in Jesus. His name was Muhammad, by the way. He went, well, do you know what? I was born kind of like into that culture. He said, but I'm still open. He said, I've been to church a couple of times. He said, but I didn't really like it. I said, well, there's a church around the corner you'll love if you come. Just give it a go. I said, we believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus as well, don't you? He went, yeah. I said, but have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And he said, no. And I said, okay, well, let me just tell you the gospel. Have you ever done any wrong? And he went, well, yes. Okay, would you like forgiveness for that? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, we believe that Jesus is God who came in human form and he died on a cross for us. So we deserve to be punished for the things that we've done wrong. But actually, Jesus took our place. That's the good news. That's what it's all about. And so would you want that? And he went, you know what? I think I would. So I said to him, like, well, if Jesus was here today, would you want to invite him into your heart? Would you like that experience? Would you like to start walking with Jesus? He said, well, yeah, I would. And so me and another person, we just went through the prayer, short prayer, you know, something like, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I thank you, you died on a cross. God, come to live in me. I want that experience. I want the sun shining in my heart. I want that. And we asked him afterwards, how do you feel now? He said, I feel great. He said, I feel happy inside all of a sudden. I feel totally different. I feel like a weight has been lifted off my life. And my question to you is, don't you want that today on this Good Friday? That's the upgrade that God was bringing into the world, that we would experience the sun coming up in our heart, the presence of God living in us, that we would feel happy inside regardless of what's going on out there, that we would feel loved and accepted by a living, the only living God. And that is what this day is all about. It is that God would show us that he's a loving God, a kind God, not a punishing God. Anything we deserve was punished in Jesus, that he's a good God, that he knows you, he knows everything about you, everything, everything, and he still loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. He just wants to know, will you love me back? Have you ever loved someone that doesn't love you back? That's painful. But in the day they say, I love you too, oh, what a moment that is, when they say, I love you back. And that is what God wants from us. That's why he sent his son to us. And so the truth is, looking inside your heart now, God knows everything. Everything. And we've all done stuff we regret. If you had about a month, I could tell you all the things I regret in my life. There is so much that I've done. I think, why did I do that? We've all done it, each one of us. And the problem is that it leaves us feeling rotten inside. It leaves us feeling empty inside. And we can even punish ourselves and beat ourselves up. That's what it does. But the upgrade from God today is he wants to take all that rubbish feeling that you get when you start thinking about, I could have done so much better. He doesn't want you thinking that way. He wants to remove the sadness, the pain. He wants to remove the shame that's on your life, all the stuff that pollutes us from inside. He wants to forgive and remove it in a real way. That's what God does. That's what he died on the cross for. All the shame, all the guilt gone. Jesus' resurrection came to set us free from all that. That weightiness that Muslim felt suddenly came off as he realized who Jesus was. And by the way, there were thousands upon thousands of Muslims coming to Christ around the world at this moment every day. It's happening. God is on the move. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. It's happening. He came to set you free, to give you a new start, to cleanse you from the past. I was amazed when it happened to me. I couldn't believe the difference inside. I felt so good. I started to hear the birds singing in the trees. Never noticed it before. Just saw nature. I started to actually like people, even like myself, which was a big shock. This is what God does for us inside. And he makes us his sons and daughters and the promise of eternal life in heaven with him forever. And so, do you feel bad about some of your past? Do you know that you've done stuff that actually probably did offend God? You've let yourself down, you've let God down. All of us have done it. All of us. Or maybe you've had that feeling like, what is the point of life? Who would care if I'm not even here anymore? Why do I do what I do? It just seems meaningless and empty. Well, if you're feeling that, it's because God is revealing to you, you're missing something. You're missing this relationship with the living God, and he wants to give you that today. Or maybe you've had that falling feeling. I used to get in a dream, so dissatisfied with life. So what is it all about? Again, God is showing you are missing something you cannot get from this world. We can only get it by coming to the risen Lord Jesus and allowing him to come into our heart. Revelations 1:8 says this, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and the grave. And so Jesus really is alive today. I'm not just saying it. Where two or more are gathered, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is in this room today. And he's alive forevermore. But what does it mean he's got the keys? What is that? Well, he wants to open up for you this new life, this freedom, to take the weight off your life, to start developing in you, working in you, and all the things you know you should be on the inside, but you never become, he wants to bring out by his power that rose Jesus from the dead. He'll go to work and transform your life, but it starts with coming to him. He wants to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. He wants to bring joy into your heart, new life into your heart. How? Romans 10:19 says, very simple. Confess with our mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. Believe that Jesus rose from the dead and confess it with our mouth. That's it. So if you believe he rose from the dead and just confess him as Lord, that's it. That's the simplest way. And you think your eternal life could start today. This upgrade could happen to you today. Can we ask everyone to stand, please?